And this kina chafal farzei alvanarash about the asara gei malchus talk about the Roman executions of the greatest of our people. And the kina is clearly written less so as a historically accurate document, more so as a way to get us to feel the pain of the loss of our tzaddikim. Just about everything I said this morning, I did not say last year. I would like to now repeat what I said last year in introduction to this kina, because I think it is so fundamental and so pivotal for everything that we are. The Romans were out to destroy us, and they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. But what happened after they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? Something very funny happened. 60 years later, at the time of Bar Kokhba, there was another rebellion. But I don't understand. If the center of Yiddishkeit is the Beis HaMikdash, is Yerushalayim, and that is destroyed, then how could they still rebel? How could Bnei Yisrael still, I won't say be vibrant, but maintain its life vitality? And the answer they realized was that what keeps us alive, the Beis HaMikdash might be that heart that's pumping the blood, but the blood that's the life force is really the Torah that we learn. And they realized that's the Torah and the mitzvos, and therefore they set out a new plan years after the Churban HaBayis to destroy not the Beis HaMikdash, but the Ashras HaShchina in the hearts of our Talmidei Chachamim. That was the historical background for this kina, for the Asara Rugei Malchus. And of course, as many have made the mistake to assume that Eretz Yisrael saves Judaism, it's not Eretz Yisrael, it's Torah Mitzvos that saves the Jewish people. We lived for 1,880 years after Beis HaMikdash, before we had a land. We limped. We walked on crutches, but there was a we. We continued. Baruch Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift. We have Eretz Yisrael. What keeps us alive is our Torah. Sometimes you speak to people, whatever your political views are about Eretz Yisrael, Medinas Yisrael, you see people roll their eyes when they talk about people learning Torah, protecting Eretz Yisrael. Come on, come on. When we say this kina, we realize that the lifeblood, the vitality of what Klal Yisrael is, what it means to live, for Bnei Yisrael to live, we had it without an Eretz Yisrael. We did have Torah without Eretz Yisrael. We had a Jewish people without Eretz Yisrael. But it doesn't work the other way. It doesn't work the other way. Let me explain what I mean. Begin of Acharei Mos, which is the lady on Yom Kippur, we read about Misas Tzadikim of Shnei Bnei Aaron, Nadav and Avihu Dai. The Gemara tells us that Misas Tzadikim is Mechaper. The Torah Tumima explains over there, why is Misas Tzadikim Mechaper? Why is it that if we lose our Tzadikim, that's Mechaper for the nation? So I always thought that it's because they're sort of our Beis HaMikdash. You know, Hashem's word is lived in the lives of our Tzadikim. And just as Hashem's presence is destroyed, it leaves us with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when lives that are lived according to Hashem's word are snuffed out, our tzaddikim die, chas v'shalom. So that revelation of Hashem through their lives is gone. The Torah Tumim says it's different. It's not their death per se that brings kapara when tzaddikim die, but it's the kavod and the avelis that we have when tzaddikim die. Because their kavod is the kvodo shel makom. When we hear about something happens to a tzaddik, we hear about one of our gedolim who die, Hashem Yerachem, the amount that we could feel a pain, that's feeling a pain for the loss of Shechina that's present. But I have to be honest. We're going to read this Kina. It's incredible emotion put forth. But we live in a generation, maybe it's just me, but I think it's probably a lot of us, that we're not able to connect to the tzaddik. When you hear stories about the great tzaddikim, what really touch us, I tell you, he knew Shas, backwards and forward, right and left, by the time he was 4 years old. Wow, that's great. But I tell you one maisel about Rav Shlomo Zalman, how sensitive he was to some poor yasam, that strikes so deeply. All of a sudden, that touches us. Why can't we appreciate this person who loses sleep year after year, sacrifices a life of luxury for a life of simplicity to dedicate themselves to Torah, and that doesn't touch us like a story of chesed of Shlomo Zalman, for example. A friend of mine, Arya Kupinski, his grandfather lived next door to me in Flatbush on 19th Street between I and J. He was with me in yeshiva when I learned by Reb Tzvi Kushelevsky in Heichal HaTorah in Yerushalayim. He's a big guy. He's at least as tall as me, twice as broad as me, strong. And he learned in yeshiva, serious learner. And he learned year after year until his, you know, Baruch Hashem's family grew and he had to figure out, you know, learned the trade later on. He was one of the four Kedoshim in the Har Nof massacre. I want to share with you a little bit about what his wife wrote about him. My husband, Arya Kupinski, Hashem Yikomdamo, told others to run for their lives while he tried his best to restrain and fight off the terrorists even after he was injured. I think he was the one who was throwing shtenders in Rabbi Rubin's shul. He was the one who was lifting shtenders and throwing them. He was a big guy, a very strong guy. That was no surprise to anyone because we all knew that Arya was the embodiment of chesed. He was always there to help no matter how difficult. But how does somebody acquire that reputation? How does somebody become the type of person who everyone automatically agrees, oh, that's the kind of guy who would do such a thing, who would try to fight off a terrorist to protect others rather than running for his own life? Wherever he went, he was always schlepping, cleaning, organizing. He'd be the one to set up and serve the kugel at the kiddush, clean up the shul motzi Shabbos. He would be the crossing guard for the kids on their way to yeshiva. He would help the neighbors fix the stuff in their house without charging for them. He would carry the heavy packages for their neighbors. His whole life revolved about whom he could help next. I remember his dilemma. For example, there were two simchas on Shabbos at the same time, and he wanted to help both of them at the same time. After our dear daughter, Chaya Chana, Alea Shalom, suddenly passed away, instead of sinking into pain, he focused on how he could use this opportunity to help the tzibur. Before this, every Rosh Chodesh Adar, I would dress up as a clown, I would stand at the intersection in Har Nof, helping the children cross to bring the simcha to the Av Adar into our neighborhood in a safe way. After our daughter died, Arya continued to dress up as a clown, but now he also gave out hundreds of candies to the children that he crossed to increase their simcha at the same time giving the children an opportunity to make a bracha in memory of our daughter. After our daughter died, Arya also opened a freezer gemach. He would lend freezers to families who needed extra freezer space in preparation for a simcha. But instead of charging families for a delivery service, he would deliver the freezers himself, by foot, pushing them up and down the hilly Har Nof on a handcart. Sat next to me in yeshiva, regular guy, learned, smiled, joked around in the dining room with me. Corny sense of humor. The godless that is cultivated by those who dedicate their lives to Torah, godless in all kinds of ways, Some you realize, some it only takes a tragedy till you hear and realize. Read Kina Chaf Aleph, Arzei Levanona, Direi HaTorah, trying to feel a sense of loss, not for those people who suffered the terrible murders and terrible executions, not just for Klal Yisrael who lost their Torah, but for each and every one of us who lost the opportunity to learn what they might have been able to continue teaching us, the Rabbi Akivas, the Yehuda ben Bavas, as we read Isaiah Levanon. Isaiah Levanon, Adirei HaTorah. The next Kina, Chaf Beis, Hacharishu Mimeni, is the Kina that was written sometime in the medieval period, maybe during the Crusades perhaps, and it talks about the pain of a community that's being attacked and has to make terrible decisions. Because this Kina raises an issue that is subject to great dispute. We can't judge, but nevertheless, the decisions that they made, when they realized that they were being attacked, whether it was by the Christians or some other people being attacked, and the Jews hold themselves up in the fortress and the city tower, but they knew it was just a matter of time before the enemies and the Christians would break through the doors, would come over the moats, and take the children. Yeah, they might kill the parents, but they'll take the children to baptize them. And therefore, there were those who had the gvura. And again, this is a question whether it's halakhically correct or not correct, but there's certainly one strain of thought that agrees with this, although perhaps we don't pask in this way. But imagine the gvura to say, as we'll say in a few lines in the middle of this kina, lo zachinu legadelchem l'Torah, if we will not have the opportunity to raise you to Torah, let us instead not krivchem Ka'ola v'haktora, instead we'll sacrifice you, we'll take knives, we'll slaughter you, cut your necks, our dear children, as a korban, so that thereby nizki imachem la'ora, will go to Gan Eden together. The enemies will kill us. We, your parents, will kill you, our dear children. You shouldn't be taken and be baptized. Not of Torah, not as mitzvos. And therefore, they agreed among themselves. They killed themselves as well. It seems from the end of the Kina, there was almost a mass suicide rather than be captured by the enemy. Again, halakhic discussion, but the fact that there were people who had this bravery, and there are a few lines that just strike me that I have to share with you. Because after talking about slaughtering their own children, after talking about chassans and kalas who are fainting in each other's arms and having to kill one another, you know how the kina ends, the last third of the kina, you know what it talks about? It talks not about themselves. Torah, Torah, chag risak. The Rishon and the Bali Atosos were in that same fortress. The Talmidei Chachamim, the Rabbeinu Tams, the Rashbams, who we learn. The likes of them were in that fortress, were about waiting for the enemies. And who are we saying Akina for? Not just for the people, but Torah, Torah, Chagri, Sak, Prana, Sackcloth. We're going to make the most incredible Avel for you, Torah. For the captains of Torah, those people who know how to guide with the rudder and with the oars, through the Yam HaTalmud, those who know how to figure out all of the things that we don't know, those who can answer all of our questions, those who know how to answer, nullify the Naziruses and the Nadarim, who's going to plumb the depths of Torah? Who's going to battle the Melchama of Torah? Can you imagine how much Torah we would have if the Crusades didn't happen? Not talking about the burnt Sfarim, that we'll talk about later. Talking about the people themselves. Could you imagine what would Klal Yisrael look like today if it wasn't the fact that in every generation Omdu Malaylu L'Chal Oseinu? Other nations don't have that. Okay, once in a while in Syria there's a civil war, lots of people are dying. Terrible, it really is. Other people, there were battles that were nations wiped out. But here we are. What would happen if it was just not our destiny to always be attacked? If we weren't in Gauls, we wouldn't be. Just imagine what our people would look like. You read this Kina. I want to finish with one story. It's a true story about people going to death with kavod. With kavod. I'd like to teach you a halacha, even though you're not allowed to learn Torah today. The halacha is that if a person brings a korban, even if they do the korban properly and they do it with all the requirements that must be done, and they do all the actions of the korban properly, if, however, when the korban was shechted or was hukrav, there was a thought that was not proper, that korban is called pigul, and that korban does not work, that korban is not ola l'ratzon. Pigul can't be eaten, pigul, this korban is invalid, and didn't work. I'd like to share with you the eyewitness account that's written about Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, Hashem Yikom Damo, Rav Shiva Baranovich, Chaber of Kovetz Ma'amarim, Kovetz Halachos, Kovetz Shiurim. And in the Akdama to his Sefer Kovetz Shiurim, there's an eyewitness account of somebody who was there when the Nazis killed him. And it's written with a verbatim dictation of the words in Yiddish, that Rav Elchanan Wasserman shared before he and his Talmidim and his followers were led on their final journey to the gas chambers. It's translated for you. First, Rav Elchanan led the group singing Ani Mamin. Then he stood before them and addressed them, speaking with complete composure in an even voice. I'm going to tell you what he said. And I had a friend who was my roommate in the Mir. And when he went to Lakewood, he put out, he's writing, I don't know if he published it yet, a critical edition of Rav Elchanan Wasserman's Svarim. And he told me an incredible thing about what I'm about to tell you in Halacha. But let me tell you the story first, and I'll share to you what my friend who wrote this Sefer on about Rav Elchanan's writings. This is what Rav Elchanan told the people who are about to be led like lambs to the slaughter. We are about to be brought as korbanos al mizbach Hashem. Let us have pure korbanos, pure kavanos, so that the korban that we sacrifice will not become pigul. Those were Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman's last words. If I'm not mistaken, when I saw it inside, I think he said something about for Achenu in America. Let us have in mind that our blood should be miratz on the Mizbeach to save our brothers in America. I think that it was also there. Those are his last words. I want to share with you what my friend told me. If you open up a Chumash, talks about the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. The mitzvah of giving your life on Kiddush Hashem. Do you know what the next pasuk says? The next pasuk after the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem in Parashas Emor is the mitzvah of Pigel. The mitzvah of when you bring a korban, not to have the wrong kavanos. Do you realize what Rabbi Chanan Wasserman was saying in his last words? A connection that you and I would never have realized in a billion years. Why in the world in Parashas Emor, the Torah talks about the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, then it switches and talks about Pigel and Karbanos, and Rabbi Chanan Wasserman at that last moment with complete composure, without even telling people, I'm telling you a Chiddush and how to learn a Pasuk in Chumash, is telling you we're about to do Kiddush Hashem, let's make sure we have the right Karbanos. He saw that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us. And he gives us the mitzvah to dial Kiddush Hashem, and then right after that, the mitzvah of Pigel. Would anyone in a million years ever have realized that connection if Rabbi Chanan wouldn't have taught it to us through his living embodiment of doing what the Torah says so directly? So now let's read the conversation that this community that's about to kill their children, that's losing all of his Tamidei Chachamim, this discussion that they share with us. V'chaf beis ha-charishu mimeni. Ha-charishu mimeni v'adaber v'evar alayma. The next kina, we'll skip chafta, we'll go to chafhei, kina 25. Mi Tein Roshi Mayim. This was written during the Crusades. And during the Crusades, when the Christians wanted to save the land of Israel from the infidels, they took the opportunity to kill, murmur, page, rape, pillage, steal every Jewish community that they came across on their way to save Palestine. In the name of peace, of course. Frank Sinatra, I think, is quoted to say how their deity, the Christian deity, is revered as the Prince of Peace, for more blood has been spilled in his name than any other figure in history. Apparently, estimates are that during the Crusades, between 1 and 3 million people were killed. And what's incredible about this kina is that we have the records to the day. This day of this month, this community. This day of this month, to this community. Day after day, as they're making their way in whatever direction the Crusaders are walking. Funny thing, you know, when we look around at our enemies, we think of ISIS. We think of Palestinians. We don't think of the Christian church. Right? The church is our friend. Vatican II. I want to share with you two lines that state the new theology of the Christian church. Vatican II believes that what happened to Jesus cannot be charged against all the Jews, nor against the Jews of today. Number one. Number two, since we share patrimony with the Jews, we come from the same place, the church therefore, listen to this, decries, goes against any hatred, persecutions, any displays of anti-Semitism directed against Jews at any time. Garbage. Bogus. Bogus. It's one thing if you want to say you hate us and you hate us to our face. It's another thing to say that we believe that we don't hate you. And then you still hate us. That's even worse. You have to be so careful of our interactions, of our involvement, of efforts made to work together. You have to be so careful, so cautious. Halacha Esav Sonei Yaakov. It's not just that it happened to be at certain points in history there are certain people who hated us. It's built into the system. They hate us. There could be exceptions, and when there are exceptions, we better be darn careful to make sure that they are really exceptions. When Eretz Yisrael was founded and all the Platim, Sheres HaPlata, came after the war, there was discussion in Yerushalayim if there should be a new day established. It's a question my son asked me last night, actually. My son said, oh, the Holocaust is 6 million people. They should have made a... Why do we need Tisha B'Av? We should have a special day for the Holocaust. That's what was asked of the Brisker Rav in discussion of should they make Yom HaShoah or not. And the Brisker Rav quoted Baal Peh on the spot the line from this Kina. In the middle of the Kina, two-thirds of the way through this Kina, the Paitan says, V'chi ein lahosif moed shevet v'saveh. We shouldn't add any moed, any additional days. Just today, Tacheskin Hayom, Livyasi Aurera, just today. Because today is the day that we recognize. Yes, we'll read about the Crusader attacks that happened around Shavuot's time, that we'll read in this. You see, in the spring, they're able to travel. So it's a convenient time to go on a crusade when it's nice weather. That's why they happened in the Shavuot's time. During the winter, you get your boots muddy. It's harder to travel with your wagons during the... See, wait till Shavuot's time to kill Jews. When it's convenient for you. So Briskarov says, we see from this piyut that our tradition is that we don't make separate days of Avelis. Rather, we realize that all Yiddish Tzaris all emanate from one day, from the day of Tisha B'Av. That's why Tisha B'Av we choose to say what happened during the times of the Crusades and all the other Tzaras. There's a line here that I'd like to share with you. Frightening line. The attack was on Shavuos. The Jews were in the fortress of the city. They retreated into the city walls. The Chodesh, there was Nepach, Liyagam, Vitzara. The day of the giving of the Torah. B'yom Nisin Asa, K'mochein Oz Chazra. The day that Torah was given, on that day the Torah had to be returned to go back to the Marom, to the place where it is stored, to the Makom Medura, to its Dira, to where the Torah lives. Together with, listen to these words, the Torah was restored up to Shemayim with its tik, with its nartik. Right? You have a tefillin, and then it has the tik, its cover, the box, the bag. You know who that is? That's us. The Torah is our neshama, the Torah is our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the body is nothing more than the Eitz Chaim that holds the Torah around it, the paroches that's wrapped, the mantle that's wrapped around the Sefer Torah. Even more so, the Torah, the letters, the parchment is us, the gvil. And that's why Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion was killed. He cries out to his Talmid, and I see the osios parchos ba'avir. The Torah is going up. It's only the cloth that's being burnt. It's our bodies that are being burnt, but our neshamos, that doesn't go anywhere. It's a beautiful idea. It's great for Shal Shudis. It's great for class and Hashkafa. Rabbos, I want to share with you halacha from the Shulchan Aruch. I want to share with you halacha from the Shulchan Aruch. The halachas of Kriya, rice in Kriya. In Yoridea, says the Shulchan Aruch, if one, God forbid, sees the Sefer Torah, that's Nisraf, or Tefillin. Even one of the Nevi'im, or Ksuvim, that is burnt. The halacha is that they have to rip. Shtei Kriyos. One for the Gvil, one for the Klaf, one for the Ksav, one for the words. Two Kriyos. Every person is that Sefer Torah. We have to rip not just for the words of the Torah that's lost, but yes, we have to rip for the cloth that was burnt. When we hear of a Jew that's killed, we have to, even though we do only one kriya, we have to realize that in that one kriya, there are the two kriyas that are there for a Sefer Torah. Let me rephrase that. Maybe when a Jew dies, we only do one kriya because indeed, the Torah is not lost that goes up to Shemayim. That's not lost. We only do kriya for their body. But there's something very troubling. Very troubling. Kamamish, read this and go off the derech. It says, smack in the middle. When were they killed? When the Crusaders attacked the fortress on Shavuos, right before Shavuos. V'chodesh HaShlishi, the third month, that's, right, Nisan, Iyar Sivan, the beginning of Sivan. B'kriyas HaHalel HaSharura. They're singing Hallel. Imagine that. You're singing Hallel in Shul. Men, women, and children all locked in, barricaded, and you hear the banging. And what do? There's nothing to do. You sing Hallel. How could it be? How could it be? As a Jew singing Hallel, B'tzibur, that the murderers come and they kill us while we're singing Hallel. You know who asked this question? A lot of people a year and a half ago in Har Nof. What kind of people are the people that daven at Nates? Anyone here daven at Nates? Not me. I woke up at 9 o'clock this morning. People daven Nates every day with a talis and a tefillin on. And those are the people that the murderers have to come in with guns and with axes. This is the question that was asked to Rabbi Reuben, the Rav of Kilas B'nai Torah in Har Nof. How can Hashem take the lives of tzaddikim while they're wrapped in a talis, in a tefillin, davening nates? One of the Rabbanim, somebody asked one of the Rabbanim at that time, and he said, I want to ask you a question. If somebody would have been killed on the, what is it called, the Rechav Kala, the light rail, then you would have been okay? The fellow said, yeah. Time came and that was how they were going to go. Okay, the time came and they had an accident on the light rail, fine. They responded. And so, if a person's time comes and they have to go, isn't it better that when their time came, they should have the zechus of their time coming? And while at that time, to be davening nates, wrapped in their talis, wrapped in their tefillin. Apparently, Reb Chaim Kanievsky called the four families to be Menachem Avil. That's what he said to them. He said to each of those families, the time came, Hashem decided, what a zechus it is, that when a time comes, that the person should also be wrapped in their talis, wrapped in their tefillin. Now I'll read about saying Hallel. Mi ten roshimayim, v'ni mikarnos lav, v'kakoyim osayim elayim.